Our next storyteller has spent more than a half a century living and working 1,240 acres of Smith's Mesa in southern Utah. Len has been in his family for going on seven generations. In addition to ranching, he is the patriarch of the most successful world champion saddle bronc riding dynasty in rodeo history. Please welcome Bill Wright.
Thank you. I'm going to have to echo Pam's comments about Victoria. She called me up out of the blue, told me that she had read the book, The Last Cowboys, by John Branch, and that he said I was a natural storyteller. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And I told her no, and she said, well, I think you'll do okay, and the proceeds of this go to a good cause. And she hit my soft spot, so I consented to come and try to tell you an unbelievable story. As a young, an older boy and a young man, I worked in the Grand Canyon on the North Rim and the South Rim. Spent four seasons on the North Rim and four full years on the South Rim in various work. Yeah, on the North Rim for the first 3 years, I was a mule skinner, guided guests down that took them down the North Kaibab Trail into Roaring Springs and to the tunnel. The last season I was working for the National Park Service on trail maintenance there. Then I ended up over on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, and I went there to ride bronc mules and young mules, and also worked in the blacksmith shop while I was, and also packed. I packed all the none pack stream in the Phantom Ranch, and I went down to South Kaibab in across the Colorado River to Phantom Ranch. In the job description or the duties of a packer was they brought the young mules in, and you worked the young mules on a in a pack string, and you then you rode them, and then they went to the guides and they rode them, and then as they got better and better they went to the guests. And out there I lived at a different place. I lived out on what they called the North Kaibab Trailhead, and a government packer lived there, and we were the only two people out there, and we helped each other back and forth to when we had loads that we couldn't handle or mules that we couldn't handle by ourselves, why we traded work a little bit. And it come time that they had offered him a job to the trail maintenance foreman, and he come to me and said, they've offered me this job and I'd like you to put in for the government. So I ended up going to work for the National Park Service on the South Rim and in the blacksmith shop and doing some packing and assisting in some trail maintenance. And this, I tell you all this to kind of background the rest of this little story. And in the job description, it was to ride and work with the young mules also. And that was the same deal. I worked the young mules, and then they'd go to the some of the other fellows. And this particular day, experience I want to tell about, I was riding a young mule called Eagle. And he was a big, long, gangly mule, leggy, was a head about as big as he was, and real flighty and skittish. But we went down the trail. If any of you have been to Grand Canyons, the South Kaibab, and we were down about a mile in on the trail on a place called Windy Ridge. The trail went right down the top of the ridge, and we'd been sent down there because there was water damage on the trail. We had a lot of storm water to wash things out down to Bear Rock, and we were sent to haul dirt in there. And I put they had dirt boxes on the mule, trapdoor dirt boxes on the mules, and they'd haul about 3 cubic feet of dirt. And it took 3 men to do this job. One would hold lead the mule in the pit, and the other two would shovel the dirt on, so you loaded it equally, because it was quite a heavy load. They weren't on there very long, and they loaded them up pretty good. And we'd take them to the up the trail and turn them sideways, and we both popped the doors at the same time and put them on. We finished up this our time there that day, and we used britchens. Mules don't have much of a weather, which is a bone in between their on their top of their shoulders too, and it helps hold your saddle back. And in that steep terrain, we used britchens to keep the saddle from going over their head. And we used the mules so much that we took the britchens up whenever we could. So when we went turned around to go uphill steadily, and we'd take the britchens up and tie them up. And I'd done this with the mule, and I was riding a young mule, so the other fellows were leading the pack string, and I was in the front. There was another horse coming down the trail that we needed to put on in a wide spot to get so we could pass. He was another ranger that lived in the bottom of the canyon. And also, as he was situating, there was a hiker come down the trail with a large backpack, and it was customary the way we did. The hikers would usually go on the inside while you passed, so you couldn't you didn't push them off the trail. And this hiker had this big heavy pack on, and you could see this long string of mules that we were going to bring by him. And I'm sitting there, and he swings this backpack off and drops it at my mule's feet. And this mule bails off, lunges, bolts off the trail, off the side of the canyon. And I thought, at the time, I thought it was over, but I thought, right now, you gotta be kidding me. And as this mule went down the hill, if you've ever watched the show, The Man from Snowy River, that's just what was happening to me. I was right back on this mule, and every time he was lunging down this hill, my shoulders would touch his hips as he lunged. And it went down this, I went this way for about 100 yards, to where things flattened out. And I thought I was going to get him pulled up and under control. Me in the saddle and everything, he ducked out of it, and I led in a noose cactus. And a piece of cactus went in my leg and it broke off. And I got home. I was young. I'd been married about a year at this point. And I got home. I'd married a California girl that wasn't used to a rawhider like me. And when I got there, I couldn't get this leg, this cactus out of my leg. So I went in, and all we had for disinfectant was a ball of sorbean horse liniment. And I dumped the horse liniment on my leg and took a razor blade and slit it with the muscle and got in and got the... And she was over there screaming at me, you need to go to a doctor. And I said, no, we do these kind of things quite often. And, thank you.